Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Todd Tomasella from the Dallas, Texas area, and I've got one of my favorite people on the line, Brother Travis Bryan III from down in Bryan, Texas. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you this morning, brother?
Oh, doing real good. Sounds like you got some coffee going on down there, huh?
I do, and I have this on the speakerphone, if that's all right. So
that
I'll
works
be
perfect.
Okay.
That sounds good, actually, yeah. Wouldn't have guessed it was a speakerphone. So, but praise the Lord, brother. You know, you have a writing called The Golden Rule, and I really love it. It's so preemptive, if you will, if that's a good word for it. And the cross seems to be right at the center of it, and which is so fitting because of the centrality of the cross in the life of the believer, out of which emanates and comes the resurrection power of God, and in this case, the resurrection love of Christ. I love the way you open this message up, Brother Travis. And folks, you can look at this message and dozens more on safeguardyoursoul.com. One of the categories is Travis Bryan III, and all of the messages, the short but very potent, are on the cross, and you will, I believe, gain much godly understanding of the Lord himself, first and foremost, and also of walking the Christian life successfully, and successfully meaning doing it the way God said to do it. Hallelujah. But you noted here, Brother Travis, and then you can talk about this, if you will, how that we notice in the Golden Rule, you know, Jesus says in Matthew 7:12, whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. And then you noted, you said, first, let's notice what conduct is excluded by the Golden Rule. Number one, do unto others before they do unto you is not there. Number two, do unto others exactly as they have done unto you is not there. And number three, do unto others to protect yourself from them doing unto you. That kind of sounds like vulnerability there, brother.
Yes, it does, Todd. And I like your word preemptive, because the cross is preemptive. If you want to know what child of God looks and acts like, read the Sermon on the Mount. That is the mind of Christ. And that is the way we're supposed to think, act, and behave. But you just can't walk out your door and try to do these things. They're impossible for the flesh or the natural human being to do. There has to be a preemptive work done in your heart before these things, these kinds of high principles and virtues can flow out of you. And Todd, they flow out of the cross. You have to die with Christ and then be buried with him. The old you has got to die. And then rising up with him in resurrection life and power, this is the way that you will gradually be changed over to act. And unconditional love, the first thing to flow out of the cross. The natural man is incapable of unconditional love. And then the golden rule that do unto someone not as before they can do it unto you. That's the way the world performs. But do unto others no matter what they do unto you, and without any expectation that they would respond in kind.
Yes. In fact, this is how we see that the one who is love, that is God, did to us while we were yet sinners, huh? When he sent his only begotten son. Yeah.
exactly right, Romans 5. That is right on point, Todd.
Yes, sir. Without any guarantee, as you point out, that any one of us would choose in the free moral agency, the free will that he gave us, to choose to repent and come to Christ and take him up on his offer, if you will, of forgiveness and redemption. Amazing love, as one of the songs we sing says. How
the,
could it be? Yes.
The golden rule. Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was going to say some of the lyrics, but I don't know if I remember them real good anyway.
Okay. The golden rule, if you look in both these passages, in Matthew 7 as well as Luke 6, the one in Luke is found in, down there in Luke 6, 31, verse 31. Both of the verses are ensconced in and contextually found in other verses having to do with loving your enemies and giving without any hope of return, unconditional attitudes towards other people that do not depend on reciprocation. And so that's a very important aspect that I don't think is brought out in teaching about the golden rule, is this is doing good to someone whether or not they're good to you.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Wow, yeah, I've never, I've seen this in my spirit and by the Holy Spirit, but I've never seen it written on or discussed, this preemptive love. And regardless of what comes in return, Jesus says here in this passage that you're referring to, in verse 31, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Because if I do good to you because you do good to me, the motive is in question there. Am I just returning good to you only because you showed good to me? You know, I'm glad God didn't look at us that way. Otherwise,
absolutely,
he would have done away with us. Yeah.
In Matthew 5:44-45, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, it's interesting to think that God never asks us to do anything that he does not do and that he is not, that are not his virtues. So this is describing the mind of God and the mind of Christ. And then in verse 45 it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So, you know, with a legal mindset, you think, well, God rewards the good and punishes the evil, but these verses seem to contradict that in telling you that, no, God is good to everyone. God is kind both to the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And this is the kind of mindset that a person of the golden rule has, that I'm going to love everybody. Christ will love them through me. I'm going to get out of the way and let him love them through me.
That's a really key point, brother, right there, because, you know, when the Lord first saves us, we seek to enact, rightly so, with the right motive, if you will, to do the will of God. But as you mentioned earlier, this Sermon on the Mount, which is the longest recorded message of the Lord Jesus Christ, it begins in Matthew 5 through Matthew 7. It takes the cross to where it's the resurrection life of Christ, living and breathing and doing the divine will in and through us. We can't just go in there. This is a lofty principle here, if you will, and truth. In fact, right at the end of the chapter, right beyond what you were just reading. Chapter 5, Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect. And that word really means mature. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, we don't want to rule out sinless perfection, but he's talking about here in context, be mature and look upon the world, the fallen world around you, as the Father has and does look upon it. He lets the rain to fall and the sun to shine. In other words, his blessings upon the evil and the good. And he wants us to be possessed with this same mind, doesn't he, brother?
He does, and it says that ye may be children of your Father. In other words, you're not going to be seen as a child of God unless this is the kind of attitude that you have, that you can love both evil and good and bless those that are kind as well as those that are bless those that are thankful as well as those that are unthankful.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
And not this. This is so high and so beautiful. It's just incredible. But when Paul says we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2, this is what he's talking about. This mind is set out for you in this long Sermon on the Mount passage found in two places. Resist not evil. In other words, absorb the blows of evil. Do not return those blows. That's what Jesus did at Calvary, is he took the blows. He took the blame. And that's what we're to do as Christians. We're not to retaliate or be vengeful, because that's not how God is. We are to take the blows, absorb those blows, and die for people. And it's just
Amen,
so beautiful.
Brother.
But God, none of these things are possible without the experience of the cross in the heart of the believer. That is the absolute foundation for Christian living. And, of course, for many years now in America, Christians have been taught to be born again and to strive to be good people. But no one is given the foundation for their efforts, which is the cross of Christ. You can't live
Amen.
Or die with Christ.
You're a little bit muffled, brother. You're a little bit muffled.
Go ahead. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's a little better. That's a little better. Go ahead, brother. Keep going. I just didn't want to miss that.
You know, Galatians 2:20 is foundational, Todd, and that is, you know, I am crucified with Christ. And yet I live, yet no longer I, but Christ who lives in me, or liveth in me. That verse is so crucial to living out
yes.
verse.
And saints of Christ, I want to encourage you to take that verse that Brother Travis is bringing to surface, Galatians 2:20, and to memorize it today, to read it, and to prayerfully seek the Lord over this blessed divine truth. I am crucified with Christ, the apostle says. Not I. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You will never exhaust the divine revelation, if you will, and virtue in this truth. But this is where the Christian life either stands or falls, Brother Travis, at the cross. Is that correct?
That is the center and focus of the gospel, Todd, in my opinion, is a participation with Christ. And let me just carefully say this for the listener, because it's not taught anymore, that the gospel, the center and core of it is this, that we participate with Christ, burial and resurrection. Dying and rising with Christ is the gospel. Everything else is an offshoot of that. That is the core.
Yes.
Right there.
I want everybody to hear that, brother. You're a little bit muffled. I don't know if it's something over the phone or you're not in direct earshot, but that is so important We definitely don't want anybody to miss that one. Can you?
Thank
You
you.
there? Can you hear me? Okay.
I
Can you say
hear
that
you,
again?
and the
'Cause that's
golden
so.
rule is just the golden rule flows right out of that, Todd. That's the way you'll act when you experience the cross.
Absolutely. That's so important that out of that cross experience, which requires our daily participation of dying with Christ, Romans 6, saints, Romans 6, whatever you do, learn Romans 6, read it prayerfully, pray over it. Out of that cross, that crucified life with Christ, comes this resurrection life and love. Is that right, Brother Travis?
Absolutely. Love flows out of the cross, unconditional love that does not depend on reciprocation, Todd. The word agape is an unconditional love that is the love of the subject, not the object of the love. In other words, it doesn't matter the target or how the person who is targeted by that love responds. The subject will love no matter what the response is.
Amen. You know, we just read the last verse here a moment ago of Matthew 5, where Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect." In other words, be mature in the way you look at sinners. He loves them, even in their sin, as he did with us. Amen. And we need to never forget where we came from, Titus 3. But he wants us. Go ahead.
That verse mentioned, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Way I read that in context, that perfection comes in love, and the last stage of maturity in love is that you can love your enemies. If you can't love your enemies yet, if you're not at that level, then you have not matured. You're not perfect in the sense of being able to love everyone. This
good.
Verse is, I don't think, talking about moral perfection. It's talking about love perfection and to love everyone.
Yes, sir. And I believe, Brother Travis, that anyone, period, that is hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said 7 times, let him that hath ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, the Holy Ghost, the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by this same Holy Spirit. And the premium on love is extremely high. It's at the top. It's kind of brother and sister with the cross, if you will, jockeying for, if you will, the top priority. I mean, God didn't so hate the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, notice all the things that are said in Scripture. Above all these things, put on charity. Above all these things. Also, 1 Corinthians 13, it would be a good idea to prayerfully read that chapter every single day in the morning and get our day started off right, because God says, without charity, without God's love, we are nothing. And the only way that can be imbued in us and us be full of it is through that cross, where we're fellowshipping with the Lord who died and bled to redeem us on that cross, and we're one with him. 1 John 4, brother, says, there's a verse that's really fascinating, one that I only begin to understand. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That has to do with oneness with him who is love, sounds like, Brother Travis.
Absolutely, and you're going to act in their everyday practical life just like you believe in what you believe God is. Do you really believe that God is love? A lot of people say that. They give lip service to it, but they don't really believe it totally. They're afraid of God in the sense that he's going to zap them if they do something wrong. But these verses sort of teach a different character of God, that he's a lover unconditionally, just like he asked us to be. And if you read the Gospel of John as well as 1 John, It's just full of these statements of agape love. And, of course, King James uses the word charity sometimes, but it's still, that is a translation of agape love, unconditional love.
Amazing. Amen. In fact, right here in this 1 John 4:8 passage, as you point out, the Apostle John, the one who Jesus loved, if you will, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he says a lot about truth and about love and the premium and the essential nature of it. Notice verse 8, this is a great memory verse, comes as a rebuke as well as a truth that must be embraced by every believer in the one who is love. Verse 8, 1 John 4, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So what would you say of the fruit of love and its importance in the life of a believer, brother?
Well, it's certainly the premier Christian virtue, and as you mentioned earlier in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, you know, there are some things that are going to pass away, but love will never pass away. Love will always remain as the focus and the premier virtue of Christianity in this age and in the ages to come.
Amen, brother. He contrasts that with some of the gifts of the Spirit, which are important for our time in this life before we're actually with him, but then there's going to be a time when that which is perfect has come. In other words, we're perfectly in the presence of him who is perfection, right?
Absolutely.
Amen.
And then in 1 John 4, you know, it says, perfect love casts out fear. Now, that's an interesting verse. And that's the Greek, and that is fear of punishment. Of course, we know that fear is the beginning of wisdom, but the Bible does not say fear is the end of wisdom. Love is the end of wisdom.
Say that again, brother. Say that one more time. That's important, and it's a little bit muffled.
Fear is the beginning of wisdom, but the Bible does not say fear is the end of wisdom. The end of wisdom is love, unconditional love that casts out fear.
Yes.
Love casts out fear of punishment. When you come to know who God really is as a God of love, then your whole outlook changes, and you're able to love other people. That Jesus gave basically two commandments. He boiled all the commandments down to two: love God and love other people. Those were the two commandments that Jesus emphasized, both in the Gospels as well as in the Gospel of John and 1 John, is love.
Yes, sir. You know, it's interesting what you just said. When we're in the love of God, we have no fear of judgment, which is what verse 17 says. You know, I read verse 16. You just read verse 18. But right in the middle, he says, herein is love made perfect, or when it comes to maturity in us, that we may have boldness, no fear, in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, does that have a lot to do with the oneness dwelling in God and God in us, which would be centered in the cross, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. But Todd, so many have a different picture of God. They see him as both loving, but as also a vindictive God and punisher of people. And you know, you got to resolve who God really is in order to act like him in the world.
Yes, that's good. In fact, that takes personal study, ladies and gentlemen. I want to encourage you on that note right there to realize that the Lord says that you are to study to show your own self approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there's no shortcut to just Bible reading and Bible studying, and that's how we realize and come to the revelation, if you will, fuller and fuller, brighter and brighter into the perfect day, as Proverbs says, is by peering intently and daily and diligently into the Word of God prayerfully. And the revelation of Jesus Christ will be unveiled to us. I think there's probably a few things that you're hearing today in this message that, as Brother Travis points out, is not being spoken of in today's modern church world. The cross isn't convenient, brother. It interrupts the natural flow of the self-serving life, doesn't it?
It does, brother. And if you want to see who God is as well as who Jesus is, because there's no difference in the two, God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself there at Calvary.
Amen.
And so the cross is the litmus test that solves all mysteries as to who God is, Todd. The cross of Christ tells you who God is. So all decisions about who God is have got to be compatible with his actions at Calvary, because the Calvary experience is who God is. Now, if you
the Calvary experience is who God is. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. I want this really to come out clear, brother. Can you say that one more time, that last part?
The Calvary, the events at Calvary, the Calvary experience, are the proof. Exhibit A in the trial, and I'm a judge, so I, you know, Exhibit A is important, of who God is. Calvary, who God is. That's who the Father is, and that is who the Son is, and that is who the Holy Spirit is.
Amen.
And so go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and read. That Gospel focuses around three words: light, and God. Christ is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
Amen.
And then the word life, that Christ is the life, life and light. And, and then the third one is love. Those three, all of them begin with L. Life, and love are who God is.
Amen. I love that. Life, and love. In fact, in verse 35 of the 13th chapter, as we wind down here, brother, got about 2.5 minutes left, Jesus says, by this, and he's talking about love, shall all men know that you are my disciples. By this. There are a lot of things he gives us in his word as far as instructions and things that are important. But he says it's by the love of God that all men will know that you are my disciples. Now, Brother Travis, in closing here, what is essential to the individual disciple of Christ? 90 seconds left here. To the individual disciple of Christ to have this love by which all men will know we're his disciples. What's essential to having that love manifested in our daily life, brother?
Well, I would say surrender. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Let God have his way with you. Walk out into the world and experience the cross. And let go of your old identity. Let go of the old you. And let God come in and fill your heart with his love. And then he will overflow your life with that love to other people. The cross is the center of the actions of the golden rule, as well as unconditional love, the experience of the cross, and the resurrection, life, and power of Christ.
Amen, brother. That's a beautiful summation. Folks, the cross is at the center of the Christian life, beginning with that beautiful cross upon which Jesus died to buy us back to the Father. And he would have us to walk this earth as he did, walking in the love of God, loving our enemies and doing good to those that hate us and despitefully use us and persecute us. Father, in Jesus' name, unite our hearts to fear thy holy name, Lord, and anoint us to the burial of self, to be crucified with Christ, and thereby we know we'll be raised up in thy holy power to walk pleasing to you in all our ways. In Jesus' holy name, Amen.
Amen, brother.